With me and take your Bibles and turn them to a very familiar area, Luke chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. Now I found my sheet, Natasha. It was under my Bible. Amen. Luke chapter number one. I'm going to read two short verses and then we'll read the context a little bit later. But Luke chapter number one, verses 37 and 38. Of course, anytime you go to the Gospels and you start in the beginning and it's Mother's Day, you know which mother we're talking about.
Amen.
Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 37 and 38. And of course, the mother is Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at some things in her life today. Luke chapter number 1, verse 37 and 38. The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen.
Amen.
I like that. With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
They said it was impossible for my wife to have kids.
Amen.
And after 20 years, guess what? With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
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 Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. Notice Mary's response. Behold, handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, as you say, let it be. Much has been said down through the years about Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But for the record, Mary was not sinless as some believe. For the record, Mary is not our mediator as some believe. For the record, Mary cannot forgive sins as some believe. For the record, Mary cannot answer prayers as some believe. There may be a lot of things Mary cannot do. However, there is something she did do. She was a tremendous example of a mother. She's a tremendous example of a mother. In fact, she has qualities that every mother needs to have. In fact, in spite of the things that she could not do, God chose her as the only one that could raise Jesus. So in spite of a lot of things she couldn't do, there's something she could do. And that was being a tremendous example and raise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, moms, I don't know if you'd be up for the task of raising a son of God. I don't know if Mary was up for the task. But I know God gave her the task. And as you raise your children, and some have raised their children already, we're going to consider the subject, Mother, we all need. Mother, we all need. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Lord, as we consider this subject, a mother, we all need. Lord, much has been said down through the years about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Lord, doctrines have been built around her. She did not request any of that. Lord, we pray that you would use this message to encourage the heart of a mother. You might minister to the heart of a mother. You may minister to the heart of a child today. Lord, you may establish or restore a relationship that's been strained. Lord, you may work a marvelous work of grace like only you can through the preaching and teaching of your word today. Help us to see qualities in this mother that we need, or Lord, character that we need to glean from this. Lord, most of all, if we don't get anything else, may we recognize that mothers are very valuable in our lives and they're a part of life and a part of society. And help us to honor our mothers today if they're alive and we're able to. Help us to cherish the memories of our mothers. And Lord, none of us had a perfect, sinless mother. And they were sinners. But Lord, they were the moms that you gave to us. And if for no other reason, help us to glorify you for your sovereignty and what you did and how you did it and why you did it. We may never know the truth of it all until we get to glory. But thank you for moms, the preciousness that they provide, the softness that they bring, the tenderness that they give, the arms that they have. And Lord, the nourishment that they give. And Lord, most of all, the unconditional love that they always seem to have. Bless now the message today. If there's one mother there's one father, there's one son or daughter here today under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl, they would be saved today before it's everlasting too late. And for our mothers, help them to enjoy the remainder of this day. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesse's got our special for us this morning. Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate that blessing in the message and song. You know, years ago when I first got saved back in 1991, my wife and I took one of our first trips back to the States. We visited a church in New Jersey, and it was Mother's Day, and the preacher had a visiting speaker there, and he happened to sing. He sang that song, and that was the first time I had ever heard that song. It was on a Mother's Day years ago after we had first gotten saved, and I really, really loved that song. And I wanted Jesse to sing that today, amen. And what a blessing. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, amen. And, you know, today's Mother's Day. And talking about a mother we all need. And I talk to my mother often. And, you know, in her later years now, she's not computer savvy. And she calls me often about help on a computer. Now, I'm not savvy either, amen? But I know a little bit more than my mom. And my wife can attest to this. She always seems to call when I can least afford the time. And, you know, I kind of look at my wife and I'm thinking, And then I'm always reminded, how many times did I inconvenience her? How many times did I put her in binding situations when it wasn't convenient for her? How many times did she have to go and bail me out when she didn't even have the time? And it makes me just say, okay, Mom, I got all the time you need. Why? Because that's what she did for me. That's what she did for me. Mother's Day is a special time for me and for mothers and for children as well. Time to recognize how much they mean to us and what they've given to us. And what a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous responsibility it is to be a mother. I cannot imagine being a mother. Now, I'm a father, but I couldn't imagine being a mother. I just couldn't. Just the things that my mother went through that my dad didn't have to go to. He was at work all day, and so he didn't have to deal with us. And we were not good to deal with, amen. And so we're going to consider the subject today, a mother we all need. And by the way, the first point is going to be this. Mary was a humble mother. Mary was a humble mother. And by the way, we all need a humble mother. Now, let me say this with all due respect. Some ladies need children to make them humble.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
I'm just being honest. Some ladies need children to make them humble. But it behooves you to be humble before you have the children. Because I assure you, when you have the children, you will be humble. I remember my sister, Latanya. She had her first child, John Jr. Bless his heart. We took him down to the restaurant in Atlanta, and we're just having a good old time, and he's having a good time. We're laughing, we're joking, and all of a sudden he gets quiet, and he gets a serious look on his face. And he starts saying, eh, 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 and we're like, John. And it didn't dawn on us what he was doing. He had diarrhea. And all down the baby high chair and a puddle about that big in the restaurant was baby diarrhea. And my sister, she's a brand new mom. And she's looking at my mother for assistance. And my mother's like, that's not my baby. That's your baby. And I'm 16 years old. 16-year-olds are easily embarrassed. I got the keys to the car and I went to the parking lot. I don't know you people. I'm out of here. And my sister had to sit there and say, can somebody help me clean this up? And I'm thinking, somebody better help you because I'm not helping you. I'm out of here. You know what happened? That's humbling. That's humbling. And after he got done, he was happy as could be. I feel better, so much better now. He's saying that before Dr. McStuffins ever thought about that. He's like, man, I got that out of me. Man, I feel so much better. He was happy. They said, can you take him to the car with you? I'm not taking him anywhere. I'm not taking him anywhere with me. He may do the same thing again. I'm not a father. I'm not a mother. I don't need that kind of humility in my life right now. What am I saying? Some people need children to make them humble. Some mothers need that to make up. Some are humble already. Mary was already humble. She was already humble. Notice, let's go and get the context of this story. Pick it up with me, chapter number 1 and verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That's a good thing, amen, mothers, to find favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth the son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, she's engaged to Joseph at the time, betrothed to him, which means there's a year that he says, I want to marry you, and they have to wait a year. She says, I don't know a man. In other words, I've not been involved with a man, immorally speaking. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. She says, you don't need to have an intimate relationship with someone because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary was a humble mother, and we all need a humble mother. I want you to consider this. Mary was humble before God. She was humble before God. Notice her reaction. Notice her statement. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, here I am, do with me as you will. That's humility, folks. That's humility. It says, I'm yours, do with me what you will. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, do what you said you're going to do. Consider this. Mary was humble before God to accept the will of God, even though she knew it would most likely bring her shame, being pregnant out of wedlock, ridicule, scorn, mockery, not to mention a possible putting away by Joseph, or maybe even death, because by law, that's what should happen. She should be stoned, the man should be stoned, and that could be her plight. And she was humble enough to accept the will of God and say, be it unto me according to thy word. You do with me the way you feel fit. Moms, if you knew all the things before you were even pregnant, would you still humbly agree to it? If you knew the pain that was going to come with your child, the ridicule that was going to come with your child, and ultimately they would take your child and nail him to a tree, would you still agree? Humility says yes. I believe Mary obviously had in her heart Deuteronomy 6:5. You say, what does Deuteronomy 6:5 say? It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I believe that she loved God above anything else, and the will of God was paramount in her life, and she believed God more than anything else. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16 says it this way, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply. The Lord thy God shall bless thee. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20 says it like this, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Remember, Mary didn't have the Old Testament that we have. She didn't have the Gospels. She didn't have the Acts of the Apostles. She didn't have the rest of the New Testament. All she had was the Old Testament to go by. And I believe she loved her God enough to say, I'm humbling myself before you because I'm already humble. And I believe that's why God chose her, because of all the people he could have chose, she's one of the most humble. And by the way, if you don't humble yourself, God can surely humble you. With the types of things moms go through, they need to be humble, or you might have an experience like my sister had in the restaurant. And you don't want to have that. Trust me. You don't want to have that. All children need a humble mom that loves the Lord first and foremost and will do what he states to do. And by the way, God will often tell moms to do some things with the child sometimes before they tell the dads. Amen. That is the story here. Number two, not only was Mary humble before God, Mary was humble before her husband. For this, let's go over to Matthew chapter number one. Matthew chapter number one. Not only was Mary humble before God, she was humble before her husband. Matthew chapter number one, the story is similar, except it's on the other side with Joseph. Matthew chapter number one, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
But as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, that means she's already in a binding commitment with him. Before they came together, that means they were not intimately involved yet. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In other words, she's pregnant already, and they're in the engagement already. There was a one-year waiting period where they had to go through. And she is in that period. And she is found pregnant. The scriptures let us know it's of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man or an upright man or righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, is minded to put her away privately. In other words, he's going to secretly put her away. Mary was humble before God, but she was also humble before her husband. We find Mary was humble in regards to her husband. When Joseph found out she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost, he obviously did not understand. Now, by the way, men, would you? Would you? You get a dream? You get a vision? You get an angel come and says, hey, you're going to get this wife. And she's going to be pregnant. But you don't get that yet. All you get is wife. And wife says, guess what? Let me give you a possible scenario. Would you believe it? This is Mary speaking. Joseph, we're going to have a special child. Joseph, I'm sure, would say, yes, Mary. Joseph, the angel of the Lord told me it will be by the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure Joseph would say, yes, Mary. And then she would go on to say something like this. Joseph, you're not going to be the father to impregnate me. And right about there, he would probably go back and say, what are you talking about? How in the world can you have a baby without me? Now, I understand the Holy Ghost coming upon you. I understand this special child business. I understand you saw this angel. But Mary, wait a minute. I know your honesty. I know your integrity. And I believe you believe this. But Mary, nothing like this ever happened in Scripture. Search the Scriptures. Did it happen to Moses? Did it happen to Abraham? Did it happen to Isaac? Did it happen to Joseph? Did it happen to Noah? Mary, nothing. Now, I know you're an upright woman. I know you're righteous and all that. I get that, Mary, but wait a minute. Nothing like this ever happened. And I believe Joseph was caught knowing the character of Mary. Knowing the integrity of Mary, knowing how he handpicked her because of who she was. But now she comes with this story. And on one hand, it's not in her to do something unfaithful. But on the other hand, she's telling me she's pregnant. And you know the story. She goes away for several months to visit Elizabeth. Comes back. By that time, she's showing. I'm sure he thought to himself, she's honest, she's got integrity. Nothing like this ever happened in Scripture. I'm just going to end this relationship because sooner or later, people are going to find out that she's showing. And we're not even married yet. By the way, may I interject this? Would to God we could get back to that period when there was shame in being pregnant out of wedlock? What to God we can get back to that time when there was shame in having a child. When you aren't married, there was some shame to that. When there was some meaning about the scarlet letter. When there was something that said, hey, I'm not wed, I'm not married, but I'm pregnant. There's some shame to that. We have made it popular. We have made it cool. We have made it socially acceptable. And my friend, God still does not accept it. Amen. Now, you can say what you want to say. You can put it on social media. You can put it on Twitter. But it still doesn't pass God's umbrella of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. We have accepted it so much that it's commonplace for a man and woman to live together in sin, have a child, and we think it's okay. My friend, it's not okay. Mary had a problem with that. And my friend, the more Christians stand up against it and say it's not right, the better off this world will be. Well, I might seem like a Christian. A Christian. A Bible Christian. Amen. Mary had a problem with it. Joseph had a problem with it. They knew there was going to be some trouble. Mary was humble before her husband. She was humble before God. Joseph didn't comprehend the magnitude of what was going on and what was going to happen, and was set to put her away, or basically divorce her, if you would. Why? No one had ever gotten pregnant this way in the past. One thing I noticed about Mary and being humble before her husband, you don't find her arguing with Joseph. You don't find her fussing with Joseph. You don't find her fighting or throwing a fit against Joseph. You don't see her embarrassing him or anything like that. And as embarrassing as it is, and as humiliating as it is to her to be put away, she was willing to be put away. What am I saying? She was humble before God, but she was humble before her husband. She didn't argue, she didn't fuss, she didn't fight. She had to be humble, because you don't find her trying to make him understand. She didn't even get a chance to start the relationship, and it appears to be over before it starts. By the way, I'm sure she tried to help him understand, but she obviously left it up to God, and God made him understand. What are you saying? I'm sure when she went to Joseph and said, Joseph, this was going on, and Joseph said, Mary, I love you, but there's a part of me that cannot go with this shame. Do you know what kind of example this is going to be before the society, before our people, against God? Mary, I just cannot fathom this, because nothing like this has ever happened before. I cannot go with this. I've got to put you away. As much as I want to believe you, as much as you're upright, as much as you're integrity, I cannot go on with this. And I believe Mary probably fell on her face and said, God, I was humble before you. I said, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I trust you with this. I don't really understand all the workings of this, but I've got this relationship with Joseph, and God, you've got to do something. This is your plan. God, you've got to work. I can believe she fell on her face and pled with God. Amen. And notice verse number 20. Well, while he thought on these things, Joseph was thinking about putting her away. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he's in it from the angel through a dream. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Then what happened? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. What am I saying? She was humble before God. She was humble before her husband. I'm not going to put up a fuss. I'm just going to pray. Hey, if we need something, moms, what you need is a praying life. You need to pray. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Pray for the school. Pray for the church. Pray for every place those children are going to go. Pray for that husband. Pray for his job. Pray for his colleagues. Pray for everything. Why? Prayer get answered. Prayers get answered. Amen. Pray. My wife and I are opposites in many ways. And so she tries, like Mary, to help me understand things, not make me understand there is a difference. Wives, you can try to make your husband understand. Making him understand is not going to help your cause at all. You will just infuriate him more if he's worth his salt as a man. Why? The man's ego does not want to be told what to do, nor made to do something. It's in him. I believe Mary got down and started praying and said, Lord, I'm not going to try to make him do anything. I'll try to make him understand. I'll try to convince him that this is what's going on. But Lord, the making is up to you. And God made him understand. Amen. Amen. All children need a humble mom. Mary was humble before God and humble before Joseph. And God worked it out. Number two. Not only was Mary a humble mother, Mary was a helpful mother. Go back to the Gospel of Luke for this one. Not only was she a humble mother, she was a helpful mother. Luke chapter number two. Luke chapter number two. Mary was helpful, was a helpful mother, and we all need a helpful mother. Luke chapter two, pick it up with me in verse number 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, present him to the Lord. So they're following the custom of the Mosaic law. When the child was born, they waited a certain amount of days, and they would bring the child in, and they were to do with the child as the law said when it came to the circumcising and things of that nature. And so they did that. And so Mary was helpful, number one, in spiritual things. She gave Joseph some spiritual help. By the way, she made sure the house of God was number one on the list for Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 22 again. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, notice this, they brought him to Jerusalem. She assisted. She gave spiritual help to Joseph. She said, number one, Joseph, we're getting Jesus to the house of God. We're going to do that, amen. That's what God said we ought to do, and that's what we're going to do. I'm coming along. She didn't send Joseph. She didn't go by herself. They went together as a couple. Moms and dads, let me tell you something. Both parents need to be in the house of God. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, you may not like that. That may not be popular preaching, but it's still Bible. They went down together. They brought him to Jerusalem. Matthew 6:33 still stands. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Moms often want to get their child to Christ first. I remember my wife, she read to G2 while she was still carrying him in the womb. I said, honey, what are you doing? Reading your Bible to G2. She said, oh, he can hear this. I'm thinking, I haven't been born yet. Why would you read? But I didn't understand a mother. I didn't understand what she could feel inside her belly. She's feeling G2 in there doing the thing, man. He's bouncing around, kicking, scratching. Amen. Like, you're doing all that, then you can hear. Then hear this. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, she started reading to him. She's like, look, if you can hear it, then read this. I would go over there certain times, and he'd try to kick me. Like, boy, this is your father speaking. Did you kick me? Amen. I got news for you. You come on out of there, we're going to talk. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They made sure that they brought him at the prescribed time to the house of God together. Verse 22 again, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they together brought him to Jerusalem to present him to who? To the Lord. They brought him to God. They were bringing him to God. Here, we're bringing our son Jesus together. Now, by the way, he is God. He was already God. He will always be God. But they're still doing what they know is right by the word of God to be scripturally right with God. And they brought him together to the house of God. I'm reminded when I was a child, before I would go to bed, you know who read to me the Bible at night? My mom. My mom read the Bible to me at night, not my dad. You know who prayed with me at night? My mom. My mom prayed with me at night, not my dad. You know who prayed for me? My mom and my dad. But when it came down to putting me in the bed, when it came down to praying, my mom was right there. And she would read me Bible stories. And she would talk to me about David and Samson. And she would teach me principles out of the Bible. And she said, now that's a wicked woman over here with Samson. You watch out for them type of ladies. She talked about Daniel and the lions then. She said, look, you stand up for what's right. Look at what Daniel's doing. She talked about Moses. She said, look at Moses. He's a leader. Boy, you ought to be a leader. Now, she didn't go deep theology, but she told me basic things that I needed to know. And my mom prayed with me at night. And she read the Bible with me at night. I'm 54 years old. I still talk to my parents often, but I have the privilege of having both my mom and my dad alive. My mom and my dad tell me, son, we still pray for you. They said, we pray for your ministry. They said, we pray for your children. They said, we got you in prayer every day. Every day. Do you know what that does to my heart? To know that my parents are still praying for me? And I'm 54 years old. How old am I? 54. I'm old. I got Alzheimer's already, amen. And my parents are still praying for me. Now, they don't have any kids at home. All the kids are gone. But they said, son, you're on our prayer list. Shining Lights on our prayer list. Pastor White's on our prayer list. Amen. And they said, do you know why we pray for Pastor White? Because he's your assistant. And he's there to hold your hands up. He's there to help you with that ministry. You know, when Pastor White goes to Atlanta, you know who he goes to see? My mom and dad. You know why he goes to see my mom and dad? Because he doesn't have a mom and dad. His mom died when he was 10 years old. My mom treats him just like he is my brother. And so when Pastor White comes to Atlanta, Mrs. White comes to Atlanta, my mom and dad take him in, they feed him, they spoil him, just like he's my brother. Why? They know Pastor White lost his mom. They want to be a mom and a dad to him. They say, we pray for you every day. We pray for Carmen every day. Amen. We pray for G2. We pray for Josh. We pray for Faith. We pray for Pastor White. We pray for Mrs. White. We pray for Shining Light. Amen. Dad said, I know. I've never been a pastor, but I know it's got to be hard. He said, I was a foreman and I had charge of men. I could fire them when they didn't do right. He said, I know it's got to be tough to be a pastor because you can't fire people.
That's right.
The ones that I pay, I can. I can't fire them out of church.
That's right, Pastor.
Mary was a helpful mother. She helped in spiritual things. She made sure that Joseph was in tow with her. My mother did the same thing. Not only did she give Joseph spiritual help, she gave Joseph sacrificial help. Notice verse number 24. She made sure giving was not an option for them. It was going to be something they did. As it is written, verse 23, in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb should be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Again, they didn't have New Testament. All they had was Old Testament. And every time the male child was born, every male child had to be redeemed with a sacrifice. And so they bought the proper sacrifice that they were supposed to bring. According to their income, it was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so that's what they brought to the Lord. And so when it came down to the spiritual things, she gave Joseph spiritual help. When it came down to the sacrificial things, she gave Joseph the sacrificial help. She made sure the things for the ministry were provided that needed to be. She said, Joseph, I'm with you. I'm in this with you. Let's go together. Husband and wife, we've got our child. Let's be an example. Let's serve together. Let's sacrifice together. Let's do it as a couple. We want our son to see the best example. And guess what? They were fine parents. Not only was Mary helpful in spiritual things, I'm sure Mary was helpful in physical things. By the way, they had to travel down to Jerusalem. Preparations to the house of God had to be made. Moms often pack the clothes for the kids. Moms often pack the food for the kids. Moms often pack the hygiene, the cosmetic items for the kids. So as they were traveling down to Jerusalem, somebody had to pack. Now, when we go on vacation, I pack. My packing is not like my wife's packing. I pack hot skins, potato chips, cherry sours, soda, club soda, some juice, some beef jerky, some combos. And I say, honey, we ready for the trip. Let's go. I got a couple Snickers in here. My wife looks in there. She's like, where's the healthy food? It ain't in there. That's for sure. When you travel, somebody's got to be health conscious. Somebody's got to pack something that's going to help our diet. Otherwise, you come off a vacation looking like the Goodyear blimp, amen? And you don't have any teeth left. Now, my kids love my packing. They love my packing. Dad, where's your bag that you packed? I said, I'm not telling because you might eat all the good stuff out. My wife packs the healthy stuff. My wife packs the hygiene items. I just pack what's needed. Well, honey, where are the kids' jackets at? We don't need no jackets. You get out there and it's 40 degrees. Now, see, I told you we should have bought them jackets. Ah, they'd be all right. Kids over there. Toughen up, boy. You're all right. Making me look bad now. Be a man. Moms remember those jackets. They remember that stuff. Oh, honey, what if they mess up their clothes? Ah, they'd be all right. Then we get out there, they mess up their clothes. Boy, go to the bathroom, wash it off. Come out looking crazy. Now, see, you should have let me bring those extra clothes. They'd be all right. Boy, come on, you look all right. Cover yourself up. Do something. Amen. Moms pack differently than husbands. We don't pack right. Hygiene items. I mean, deodorant, toothpaste. Forget all that kind of stuff. Lotion. Who needs lotion? You'd be all right. Suntan screen. Who needs that? Amen. I'm dark. I'll be fine. Then my head starts peeling. See, honey, you should have put some of that stuff on. Yeah, now I'm looking like a peeled orange or something. Amen. What am I saying? Travel preparations had to be made. Mary helped in spiritual things, but I believe she helped in the physical things as well. Joseph was a carpenter. She had to pack clothes, food for the kids, hygiene items, and things like that. Somebody had to prepare for the trip. Not only travel preparations to the house of God, but training preparations for the Son of God as well for the rest of his life. By the way, could you imagine having responsibility of homeschooling Jesus? There was no public schools back then. Can you imagine homeschooling Jesus at home? I guess in summary, it would be a piece of cake because he's not going to do anything wrong. But then don't forget they had other children. So what about when his siblings came along? Can you imagine the sibling rivalry? Jesus never makes a mistake. Duh, he's God. Jesus always gets his answers right. Duh, he's God. Jesus is always polite. He's making us look bad. Duh, he's God. Man, how'd you like to have a brother called Jesus and he was just like Jesus? I mean, talk about the bar. My, so it'd be way up there. Training preparations for the Son of God had to be made, not to mention you have younger children in school also. Jesus was not an only child. I can tell you one place where she started at, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hold your finger and go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. All parents back in the Jewish realm had to start at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. It was the law. Every parent started with Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Notice verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. He said, you're going into Canaan land. This is what you need to do. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Thou and who? Thy son. And who? And thy son's son. It's your grandson. All the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, where? In the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. They said, that's got to be yours, Mary, and yours, Joseph, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them how? Diligently unto who? Thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I believe that they did that. Amen, Pastor. By the way, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, guess which book he quoted from? Deuteronomy. I wonder why. I wonder why. What am I saying? Training preparations for the Son of God had to be made. Travel preparation to the house of God had to be made. Moms normally do that. So she helped him in physical things as well as spiritual things. All children need a helpful mom. Mary was helpful in spiritual things and physical things. Number three, Mary was not just a helpful mother. She was not just humble a mother, but she was also a hearing mother. Go over to Luke chapter number 2 towards the end. She was a hearing mother. We all need a hearing mother. Go to Luke chapter number 2, verse number 40. The child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. He didn't stay a baby. The grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him, by the way, don't think them irresponsible. At the age of 12, he was really considered a man, an adult. And it was very common for them to travel in caravans. And it was very common for the child to be with someone else in the vicinity. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Seeking him. Came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, What is considered Mary was a hearing mother. First of all, Jesus had been left at Jerusalem for several days. When they found him, Mary listened to the conversations he was having in the temple with a religious crowd. Notice Mary listened to Jesus, verse 46. And it came to pass that 3 days she found him in the temple. They found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So they arrive on this scene and they see Jesus in the midst of the doctors and the teachers. And he's hearing them and he's asking them questions at 12. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. The they is Mary and Joseph. Mary listened to Jesus asking questions and understanding. And the older children get, the more moms try to read between the lines to see the deeper meaning of what they're saying. To find the deeper meaning and to find the deeper child. Men, we don't do that oftentimes. But moms will hear children say something and they try to find a deeper meaning. What do they really mean by that? What do they mean by what they said? What do they mean by this? What do they mean by that? Moms have a real knack for listening to children. And Mary's listening to Jesus as he's asking questions, as he's answering questions, as he's talking to the doctors, as he's talking to the teachers. She's listening. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And as Mary sees this, she obviously took time to go deeper. She broke up the questions and the discussion with her concerns. And notice his mother breaks in. Notice what she says there in verse 48. His mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou dealt thus with us? Why did you do this? Why did you put us in this predicament? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." I'm reminded the times that normally I get in trouble with my mother and my father. And when they both have to approach me, for some reason, my dad always seemed to take a step back. Or maybe my mother just took a step closer to me. And you know who always asked me the questions first? My mother. Boy, what'd you do? Where were you at? Why did you go there? What did you do? My dad didn't hardly say anything. He just kind of sat back in the back, which was scary because you never knew what he was going to do. Dad was real quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. But mom said, "Boy, look what you did." Mary spoke up first. Mary's concerned. She's listening to this. She knows there's something deeper to this child that's Jesus. She knows he's supposed to be the Son of God. But for so many years, he's been a normal child. For so many years, he just lived a normal life. Now, all of a sudden, he's with doctors. He's questioning them. He's asking questions. He's trying to figure some things out here. He's putting them on the spot. Mary said, "What are you doing?" Mary listened to Jesus. But then Mary did something else. Mary learned about Jesus. Notice verse 49. After she asked the question, and she said, "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Notice verse 49. "And he said unto them," now get this, "how is it that you sought me? Why'd you come looking for me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?" Now she just said, lowercase f, father, looking for you. He stated, capital F, father, business. So she said, "Your father," lowercase, which means Joseph, "we've been looking for you." He said, capital F, "my father has some business." What am I saying? Mary listened, but Mary had to learn some things. The older children get, the more you can understand the words they say, although you may not comprehend the meaning of what they say. "I must be about my father's business." Mary's got to be thinking, what business is there? Let me go deeper, Jesus. What is this business? But she didn't ask a question. The Bible says, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." What am I saying? The older children get, the more you can understand the words they say, although you may not comprehend the meaning of what they say. They soon learned that he would be the Son of God. More practically than they did before. In 1983, I told my mom I was ready to get married. I was a 20-year-old college student at school, Jesse, of all places. 20 years old, I'm at college. I said, Mama, I'm ready to get married. My mom said, boy, why don't you wait until you get a little older? I said, Mom, I'm 20 years old. I'm ready. And I said something similar to this. I said, I'm ready now, Mom. This is it. I found the one that I want, and I found the one that I need. And my mom said, basically, that's all I need to hear. Now think about that. That's all I need to hear. She asked me to wait. She said, why don't you wait? I said, Mom, I found the one that I need. I found the one that I want. I found the one that I've been looking for. I'm ready. I'm ready. That was all my mom needed to hear. You say, preacher, why? My mom had listened to me over the years. My mom had learned me over the years. And she knew I wasn't one that made rash decisions. I didn't make snap decisions. I looked at things and I observed things. And I said, if I'm going to go, I'm going all the way. And I said, Mom, when I get married, I'm going all the way. There's no turning back. This is it. I don't want anybody else. This is the one for me. My mom said, but what if you're not the one for her? I said, Mom, I know she is. I said, I know it. I know it. She said, how do you know? I said, Mom, I can't explain it, but I know. And because my mom had listened to me all my life, and my mom had learned me all my life, she knew that I was serious. And she knew she couldn't talk me out of this. Because I had never done anything and quit. Whatever I did, I went all the way. And so she knew. She knew me, and she knew I was ready. Mary had listened to Jesus through the years. She had learned Jesus through the years, and she knew he was ready. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He's ready. Now, he didn't go right then. He didn't go because although Jesus was ready, Mary and Joseph, I don't think, were ready. Not only did Mary listen to Jesus and learn about Jesus, Mary loved him. Notice verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Why? She's looking at the deeper meaning. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. She kept it in her heart. Mary still did not yet know the magnitude of how Jesus would change her life. She just loved him still. And she learned him more and she listened to him more. Moms usually don't know the magnitude of how children will change their lives. They just love them. My mother never knew the magnitude of how I would change her life. She never knew all the things that I'd get into as a child. She never knew the places I'd go, the things that I'd say, and the people that I would offend, and the people that I would hurt. She never knew any of those things before I was born. But she loved me still. She listened to me still. She learned me still. Why? That's what mothers do. That's what mothers do. When I hurt my parents so bad on one occasion that my dad could not even look at me because he was so disgusted with me. The only one that would contact with me was my mother. My dad was too upset. He was too angry. He said, I can't even look at you. I can't even look at you. But my mom, not only did she look at me, she held me. She loved me. She listened to me. She learned me. She said, boy, I hope you never make this mistake again. And she said, I don't care where you go. She said, this is bad. She said, boy, this is bad. She said, but I don't care where you go. I want you to know you can always come to me because I love you. I don't care if you kill somebody. I love you. I want you to know you can always come to me. I love you. Why? She had listened to me. She had learned me. She loved me. I tell you, moms, some of your children will bring the sweetest of times you'll ever find. But then sometimes they'll bring you the toughest of trials you'll ever face. They can bring you the sweetest of times you'll ever find. But then sometimes they can bring you the toughest of trials you'll ever face. Sometimes it's their fault. Sometimes it's not their fault. Still, there's nothing like a mother's love. Nothing like a mother's love. All children need a hearing mom. Mary listened to Jesus. She learned Jesus and she loved Jesus. Mary is the type of mother we all need. Say, preacher, why? She was a humble mom. She was a helpful mom. And she was a hearing mom. Jesus Christ bought to her and us more than she could ever give to him. He gave her eternal life with his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ gave to Mary more than she will ever know. Through all eternity, men, women, boys, and girls will know her as Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God that we all need as well. Just like we all need a mother, we all need a Savior. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The same way we all need a mother, we all need a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of those same sins is death. Maybe you're here today and you've got a mother, but you don't have the Savior. Friend, don't leave. Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned. But Jesus Christ is the Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Moms, you can be a great mother, but you want to be a godly mother. You need Jesus Christ. Men, you can be a great father, but you want to be a godly father. You need Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. At the end of this life is either a life with Christ or a life without Christ in a place called hell, which in turn gets turned into a lake of fire. Jesus Christ came to this virgin way back then to be brought into this world to live as a man, to die as a man for your sins and for mine. But he is still God, and he'll be God, and he'll be your Lord and your Savior, or he'll be your judge at the end of your life. Which one would you choose? Mary chose him as Lord and Savior and mother and son relationship. She's got it all. What am I saying? Mothers, you want to be a helping mom. You want to be a hearing mom. You want to be a humble mom. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, we can never uncover all there is about Mary and her relationship with Jesus Christ, but there is some that we see here. Lord, I pray that today moms will try their best to be a humble mom. Moms here today would be helpful moms. Moms here today would be hearing moms. And they would do their very best for the children that you've entrusted to their care. At the end of the day, Lord, you said that children are an heritage of the Lord. They're ours to raise, to keep, to give back to you. Help every mom that is here to do the will of God when it comes to their children. They may stand before you and give an answer and hear, well done. But Lord, we know that not every child is going to respond to the parents' wishes, nor their words, nor their will. And Lord, so we pray for those moms today that have some wayward children, that the children won't listen to their words, won't follow their will. God, that you would do like you did to Joseph. You would make them understand the will of God for their life. Help those moms that are striving to be the moms that they need to be. But most of all, Lord, save every mom here today that's not born again. Every husband that's not born again. Every child that's not born again. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. With a lifted up hand, how many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm born again. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And here's my hand signifying that I know I'm born again. I'm saved. And you'd raise that hand saying, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. Not everybody was able to raise their hand. Perhaps I can pray for you this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest before God and say, preacher, I've not been saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. I won't call you out by name, but I will acknowledge your hand, and you can put it back down. I see that one hand. You may put it down. Is there another that would join this one hand? Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? One's been lifted. Is there another? And then thirdly, moms, I know we're all sinners. We're not perfect. And I know you do the best you can. But mom, thank God for the children that you have today. And ask God to make you the best mom that you can be. Maybe your children are grown. Keep praying for your children just like my parents pray for me. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Ask God to make you a humble mom, a helpful mom, a hearing mom. Father, bless now this one that raised their hand. And Lord, help them to know you love them today and you love to save them, but they must make the choice to be born again and lead them in the way of everlasting life when they come of their own free will. And let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. For these moms, Lord, keep them humble. Help them to be hearing and keep them helpful. And Lord, help them to be the best moms they can be. Even when their children are gone, help them to keep praying for their children's welfare, their children's associates, and all those that surround their children to be a good influence on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Miss Natasha is playing Hymn of Invitation. Maybe God spoke in your heart, would you come? Maybe today, mother, you want to come. Pray for your children. Maybe children, you'd come. Pray for your mom. Maybe you'd come as a husband and wife. Pray for your children. Maybe they're not in your care. Maybe you say, God, make me the best parent I can be. Make me the best mother I can be. Or maybe you've got some children who are going through some financial difficulties. Maybe some spiritual difficulties right now. Or maybe some difficulties in their life that you just don't understand. Maybe you can come, moms, and pray for them. Maybe you can reassure them that you're praying for them. My dad and my mom told me, we pray for you every day, son. We pray for your ministry. We pray for your assistance. We pray for the help that you have there. We pray for you. Maybe you need to step it up. Maybe there's just that one child that does not know how much you really care. Maybe you need to pray for him. Maybe you need to pray for her. Maybe like me, you're an only boy in the family. Maybe you're like my Faithy Pooh, you're the only girl in the family. Maybe you need to pray for them. It's tough being the only one in the family, whether you're the only boy or the only girl. Maybe sometimes even the only child. It's tough sometimes. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm in a family of 6, 7, 8, 9, but I feel like I'm the only one. No one understands me. No one cares for me. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. No one loves me. Jesus loves me. Would you pray? Would you step out and pray? Pray for your mom. Pray for your dad. Pray for your children. Maybe you raise your hand so you're not sure that heaven is your home. Would you come? Let us take a Bible. Show you how you can be saved. Would you like to be saved, sir? We can show you how. Ma'am, would you like to be saved? We can show you how. But you've got to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come? You walk down, we'll take a Bible, we'll take just a few simple moments, show you how you can be saved. God loves you. God wants to save you. Mother, God wants to save you. Father, God wants to save you. Children, God wants to save you today. There's nothing you can do. There's no way you can outrun the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, we need mothers. Father, thank you for my mother. Thank you for my grandmother. Thank you, Lord. Without them, I would not be. Lord, much of who I am is because of who they made me to be. Lord, as I'm so thankful for them, I'm thankful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed to make me whole. Give me eternal life. They gave me physical life, but Lord Jesus, you gave me eternal life. Thank you for them. Lord, each breath that I have, I desire that everyone that hears that's a mother would be saved. They can teach their children to be saved. The fathers would be saved. Children would be saved. Friends would be saved. Co-workers could be saved. And we could live a life that's pleasing in thy sight. Thank you so much, Lord, for your greatness and your goodness. Thank you for each mom represented here. Thank you for the moms represented in the nursery. Thank you for the moms that are teaching around this church. And thank you for the many, many moms that could not be here today. And Lord, where would we be if it were not for moms? Lord, we've got some great moms here. But Lord, we want to go a step further and have godly moms too. Thank you so much for loving us. Help us, instruct us, Lord, and help us to spoil our moms today. Help us to tell them how much we love them today. And Lord, comfort those that don't have a mom. Comfort those that cannot become a mom. But most of all, Lord, honor those that we can honor that are moms here today. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Just for a few